Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today.
Today we're going to be talking about the real Christmas tree. How many of you have a Christmas tree in your home? All right, raise your hand. Nobody over here has one? All right, how many of you actually went out and cut it out in the woods? Anybody? It shows you the sign of our days, doesn't it? How many of you went and bought one at a Christmas tree lot? Well, not too many. How many of you had that old tree in the attic or in the basement that you retrieved? All right, there we go. Those are the money savers here. All right, good, good. All right, would you ever wonder why we even put up a Christmas tree at Christmas? Well, historians tell us that it goes back to the Yule celebrations of Northern Europe, that the Celtics wanted a reminder that there was still life under all the snow and ice. And so they would put up an evergreen tree to remind them that there was life under the snow. And then it's probably because of Hanukkah, the Feast of Lights, that we ended up putting lights on Christmas trees. And so tradition dictates now that every December or late November that we decorate our houses with a tree and we have lights on it, ornaments. Back when I was growing up, we used to put icicles on it. I don't see that happening very much anymore, but some people maybe still put icicles on their tree. Well, today I want to talk to you about the real Christmas tree. Now, we have six Christmas trees up here on the platform, but only one is a real Christmas tree. You say, well, what is the real Christmas tree? Well, our passage today gives us the answer. Over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, starting in verse 18. So take your Bibles, turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. We'll be reading in verses 18 through 25. And look and see in our text the hint of the real Christmas tree. In respect for the Word of God, let me ask you to stand. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And he took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. You may be seated. Did you see the hint in our passage to the meaning of the real Christmas tree? It is in verse 21. When it says, you shall bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The real Christmas tree has to do with the purpose of Jesus' birth. The real Christmas tree has to do with the salvation of his people. The real Christmas tree is not a tree planted in a forest somewhere, but it was planted on Mount Calvary. The real Christmas tree is not a beautifully decorated evergreen tree, but an old, rugged, rough tree formed in the shape of a cross, covered with the blood of Jesus. The true Christmas tree is the cross of Jesus Christ. For Jesus himself said, as Moses lifted up the serpent on the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him might have eternal life. This morning, we're going to turn our attention toward the real Christmas tree. As we think about Christmas, I want you to focus not on that tree in your house, not on these trees here, but on this tree, the cross. And my desire is that you and I will come to a new appreciation for the cross of Christ as it pertains to Christmas, and that we will worship our Lord as we survey the wondrous cross. And I hope that when you go home today and you see that tree in your house, you'll be reminded of the true Christmas tree, the cross of Christ. As you see that tree out in the mall, that you'll be reminded of the cross of Christ. Now, we're going to see today two things. We're going to see that the cross directs us, and we're going to see that the cross delivers us. First of all, the true Christmas tree directs us. First of all, it directs us to Jesus Christ as our Savior. We cannot see the cross without seeing Jesus, our Lord, hanging on that cross, a ransom for our sins. As we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we must remember that He was born to die. The purpose of Jesus coming to earth and taking on humanity was so that He could die on that rugged cross for us. From the very announcement of His birth, this purpose is proclaimed. The angel told Joseph in verse 21 that you shall call His name Jesus. Why? Because He will save His people from their sins. The name Jesus is the New Testament rendition of the Old Testament Hebrew name Joshua, which means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. God is salvation. So you see, in His very name, we see that Jesus came to die. The purpose of Him being born was that He might die on that old rugged cross for us. It was not that as He was living on this earth that wicked men decided to kill Him and He was at their mercy. Oh, no, no. When He was born, when He came for the purpose of giving His life a ransom for many on that real Christmas tree on Mount Calvary. This saving work of Jesus was also foretold by that old prophet Simeon, who worked around the temple in Jerusalem. You will remember that when Jesus' parents brought Him to be dedicated at the temple, Simeon was there, and God had promised him that he would not die until he saw the consolation, the Savior, the Messiah of Israel. And we see as they were approaching the temple that Simeon came up to them, and in Luke 2, we read these words. Then he took him, that is, Simeon took Jesus in his arms, the baby Jesus, and he blessed God and he said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel." Jesus was born to die. The real Christmas tree also directs us to Jesus as man's only hope for salvation. All the religions of the world cannot purchase you one nanosecond of eternal life. There is salvation only in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." There is no other way. John tells us, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." There is life in no one else. Not in Muhammad, not in Buddha, not in anyone except Jesus Christ. Peter preached in Acts when he said there's salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. The real Christmas tree points us to Jesus as our only hope for salvation and eternal life. Secondly, the real Christmas tree also directs us to God's extreme hatred for sin. Modern man wants to ignore God's holiness and God's wrath. They say, oh, there's no such place as hell. That's just an old, antiquated idea. That's just a myth that the church made up to try to scare people. Well, I want you to know, if there was no hell, then the cross is the greatest perpetration of cruelty that man can imagine. If there is no hell, then why did Jesus suffer and die on the cross? It would have been senseless. It would have been a cruel act. But the cross tells us that there is a hell, that there is a place of experiencing the undiluted, unmitigated wrath of a holy God. It's because of God's hatred for sin that the cross is a necessity. Mankind stands alienated from God because of our sin. We are under the wrath of God and His judgment is upon us. Paul told the church at Rome, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Oh yes, there is a hell. And there is a holy God pouring out His holy wrath on those who reject Him. The cross reveals that there's a penalty for sin that must be paid. God's righteousness and God's justice must be satisfied by the payment of a price for man's sins. Yes, the cross shows us how seriously God takes sin. God takes it so seriously that only one price was sufficient for man's sins. And we find that in 1 Peter chapter 1. "Knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as a lamb unblemished, the spotless blood of Christ." There's no other price that would have been sufficient to pay the price for our sins than the blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God. God takes sin so seriously that no other price was sufficient. God takes sin so seriously that no other sacrifice was satisfactory. Over in Hebrews chapter 9 we read, "And He has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. For once at the consummation of the age, for once and for all, Jesus was put away by the sacrifice of Himself, and He dealt with the sin problem. His sacrifice alone was satisfactory. Not all the animals on the face of the earth having been killed as a sacrifice could be sufficient for the sins of His people. Only one sacrifice, and that delivered once and for all on the real Christmas tree." Yes, the real Christmas tree directs us to the extreme hatred of God for sin. Thirdly, the real Christmas tree also directs us to God's extreme love for the sinner. We cannot behold the cross without seeing God's great love for us. That love that moved Him to give His only begotten Son. That love that motivated God Himself to bear the penalty for our sins. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." And then again we read in 1 John 4, "And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the satisfying sacrifice for our sins." The holy wrath of God was satisfied in the death of Jesus. As God poured out His wrath on His own Son. That was love motivated. Because He loved us so much, He was willing to bear the penalty for our sins in His own person of Jesus. There is no great expression of love than that. You ever want to doubt God's love because of something you're going through? Look at the cross. That's where God proved His love. Don't try to find His love in the situation you're going through, because you cannot see God's love there many times, because He's working out a plan far beyond your ability to understand and know. But you can see it at the cross. The cross was a demonstration of the love of God that was visible, that was historical, and can be seen throughout the ages. A clear demonstration. But God demonstrated His own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The cross, the real Christmas tree, directs us to the extreme love of God for the sinner. The love that enabled Jesus to with joy endure the cross, though He despised its shame. The real Christmas tree directs us to the love that moved Jesus to gladly suffer hell for us, that we might be spared an eternity of agony and suffering. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. First of all, the real Christmas tree directs us. But secondly, the real Christmas tree also delivers us. First of all, it delivers us from the penalty of sin. We're born in this human race. We are born under the penalty of sin. We are born under the guilt of sin. But yet the Bible tells us in Romans 8, therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When Jesus died on that real Christmas tree, He took our penalty upon Himself and completely bore it. Therefore, there's none left for us. Jesus took all of your guilt over your sin upon Himself on that cross. So there's no longer any guilt left for me to have to bear. He bore it all. He took it all. So there's no guilt left for me. He took not only the guilt of every sin I committed in the past, but He also took the guilt of any sin I will ever commit in the future. You see, He became a curse for us. I was cursed. You were cursed under your sin. But Jesus became a curse in your place. That's one reason He had to die on that real Christmas tree. Galatians tells us, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. You see that? For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And because Jesus hung on that real Christmas tree, He became a curse. And in becoming that curse, He took my curse. He took the curse of His people, of Christians, away. We exchange the penalty of our sin for the presence of God. 1 Peter tells us, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. He took my penalty that I deserved, took it away, and gave me His presence, that I can come into the presence of a holy God, that I might die to sin, be separated from sin, and be alive to righteousness. The cross of Christ, the true Christmas tree, delivers us from the penalty of sin. It also delivers us from the power of sin. We're born into this human race. Sin is our master. We are its slave. We are in its bondage. We are chained. And we are helpless to do anything about it. But on that real Christmas tree, the power of sin was broken in the life of the Christian. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. You see, we are no longer bond servants to sin. Sin has lost its power in the life of the true Christian. We, in some way that we cannot understand, died with Jesus on that real Christmas tree, and the power of sin was broken, separated from us in our lives. We have exchanged our bondage to sin for the adoption as son and daughters of God. The real Christmas tree delivers us from the penalty of sin. It delivers us from the power of sin. And thirdly, it delivers us from the pollution of sin. Oh, there's a filth. There's a pollution that comes with sin. If we could look into the soul of an unbeliever, we would see it as black, darkened, filthy, dirty, with sin. That's our state apart from Christ. Undone. Under the condemnation of God's holiness. But when Jesus died on that real Christmas tree, He took our ungodliness, our filth upon Himself, and gave us in its place His perfect righteousness. The Bible says, "For he who knew no sin," that's Jesus, "was made to become sin on our behalf." He took our place. He took our sin upon Himself with the result that we might have the righteousness of God in Him, that we might be totally cleansed. God said, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made as white as snow." He takes the pollution and removes it, and we have the perfect cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. That real Christmas tree delivers us from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and from the pollution of sin. For His name shall be called Jesus, for He came to save His people from their sins. The real Christmas tree is not that evergreen that we place in our homes, but the cross placed at Golgotha. On that cross hung the world's greatest love gift, God's Son, God's way, God's provision, God's salvation. As you leave today and go home, and you come into your house and you see that Christmas tree, my prayer is that you will be reminded of the real Christmas tree, the cross. As you see the lights twinkle, will you be reminded of the tears in the eyes of Jesus as He hung on that cross? If you have red lights on your tree, will it remind you of the blood-stained cross of Calvary, where your Lord took your place and died for you? As we see that Christmas tree, may we be reminded of the real Christmas tree. And may we be reminded of those immortal words of Isaac Watts when he wrote, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. If all the realm of nature mine were a present far too small, love so amazing, love so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your willingness to die for us on that real Christmas tree. As we survey that wondrous cross, may we be brought to new levels of worship and adoration. As we celebrate your birth during this time of the year, may we remember that you were born to die, that we might live eternally. In Jesus' name, amen.